Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Hi, Krista.
Hi, Brandon.
We're on a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, that's as close as to a fourth wall break as I can get. I don't know. Doesn't really work on a podcast.
Not so much. We are looking at the computer. It's about as far as we got. You're breaking the fourth wall. You must be talking about...
Deadpool. No, I was going to make that joke.
Dang it. Okay, fine.
Not yet.
She-Hulk.
Yes, She-Hulk. The original fourth wall breaker.
Ah, I didn't know that she was first.
Yeah, she did it. She did it in like the 70s. Deadpool's a more recent character.
No, I know, but I didn't know she was breaking the fourth wall from the beginning.
Long time.
Oh, well, there you go. I already learned something new.
Okay, well, fun fact. Mm-hmm. You know why they made a She-Hulk?
Why?
Well, the 70s TV show with Lou Ferrigno, The Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
Was very popular.
Oh, the Bionic Woman or the Incredible Woman or something.
Yeah, and like, yeah, the Million Dollar Man and all that stuff. Very similar superhero kind of stuff. And they were worried that someone was going to make a female Hulk. And so they made one in the comics to copyright it.
Oh.
And that's why they kind of went off the... and did weird stuff because no one really cared. They just wanted to hold the copyright.
Oh, well... they care now. So in case you couldn't figure out, this week we are talking about She-Hulk. So consider this your very obvious spoiler warning. If you're trying to avoid spoilers, I don't know why you would click on something to listen to that says She-Hulk, but hey.
You do you.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're also going to be talking a little bit about other Marvel end of Marvel Phase 4 on Disney Plus.
We're going to freeform this pretty hard.
Yeah, and we're going to like section it off. So like maybe you want to listen to She-Hulk, but you're trying to avoid spoilers for Werewolf by Night. We'll be like, okay, Werewolf by Night, just so you know.
And I'll make a sound of a giraffe dying.
What does that sound like?
Mwah. Mwah.
South Park reference?
Yeah.
High five. That was a bad high five.
It was, yes.
It was like a slow motion high five.
Your five was not very
high.
High.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to hold you to that now. You have to. Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a delicious pear and rhubarb gin cocktail.
Ooh, is it the same one that you were drinking last episode?
It is not.
Oh, is it a new can, but from the
same
pack?
It turns out that these pear and rhubarb gin cocktails
are
the perfect amount for an episode of a podcast.
Oh, good to know.
As I finished one, and now we're on a new episode, and I'm on a second one.
Totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. I am drinking the exact same can of pumpkin beer.
Well, you did have a tall boy, so that makes sense.
Exactly. Also, Brandon, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, I just got finished smoking a turkey. Mm-hmm. A whole turkey.
A whole one.
On the smoker.
I finished eating the turkey that you were smoking.
Rate and review the smoked turkey.
5 stars. A+.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
It turned out about as good as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Still not my favorite thing that I've smoked, but...
Nope.
Pretty good.
I was having trouble carving it, though, because it kept falling apart because it was so tender.
It was very tender, and that's what I like about the smoker, especially for steaks. It makes the most tender, juicy steaks you've ever had.
Yeah. I'm kind of pride myself on my ability to make a decent turkey dinner, like, random weekends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little sad that... this is, on your first go, is, I think, as good as the roasts that I make.
It's different. Mm-hmm. Where a smoked steak replaces barbecued steak for me, but I don't think a smoked turkey, I still want a nice roasted turkey.
You want, like,
sometime.
The house to smell like. Okay, all right. Yeah. Also, do you want to know my nerd thing?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so this episode comes out on Monday.
It does.
Monday afternoon, I'm getting a new tattoo. It's going to be the biggest one I have. All mine are very little. This one is not massive, but it's going to cover most of my calf.
Full neck. Oh.
No, not a full neck tattoo. Cover most of my calf. I have my very first tattoo is a butterfly there, and they're going to work into it. So it's going to be books, and it's going to be happy.
That sounds like a... Reading Rainbow.
It does. You gonna sing the whole thing?
Butterfly flies so high.
Take a look. It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow. Okay, wow. Yeah, that's already off the rails. What happens when you record back-to-back episodes? Get a little loopy.
Please don't turn us off. We're sorry. I mean, not sorry, but also sorry.
Okay. I did say we weren't going to do any news this time.
Okay.
But I'm going to do a quick little Marvel news.
You lied.
Yeah, I did lie.
Okay.
But Disney also lied. Oh. So that's why.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about how they're having trouble with the Blade production.
Yes.
So that has led to them reshuffling basically phase end of phase 5, start of phase 6.
Okay.
Date-wise, mm-hmm. from what they announced at D23 already. Blade's pushed back a year. Deadpool is moved up to be in its slot, basically.
Okay.
And Fantastic Four is also moved, I think. You can look it up in detail. It's getting shuffled. But yeah, all the dates are shuffled already.
Okay.
For those distance ones.
Huh.
Thanks to Blade.
Good job, Blade.
Yeah, Blade.
Hey, at least we're still getting a Blade. I'm sad it's going to be far away.
So far.
So far, yeah. Tentatively.
They better figure out their you-know-what.
Lives.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that any other news? Anything else to extrapolate on for that?
Well, the other thing is, I don't think we mentioned, because we didn't have an episode, Werewolf by Night, which we are going to talk mm-hmm. about tonight well. But Werewolf by Night appeared as a costume character in California Adventure.
Oh, that's right. That's cool.
And looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen pictures, but I'm going to write now. While we're talking.
Yeah, because the costume in the show is practical, so
yes.
It looked...
Which is so cool, by the way.
It basically spot on for what you saw in the show.
That's really cool.
And it was, yeah. Thumbs up from me on that little clip I saw, anyway.
So my sister and her fiancé and my mom are on their way to Disneyland, and I'm going to tell them to go find the werewolf.
Yeah, I believe it looked like he was stocking up on top of where Quinjet is, where we saw Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw Mr. Knight down on the ground. But
we did, yeah. He was kind of like hanging out there.
But having an evening character up there skulking around is actually pretty cool.
It is.
It works really well.
I totally agree. Okay, so let's head to the main topic then.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, so do we want to talk She-Hulk first, or we'd want to talk other stuff first?
Yeah, let's go into She-Hulk. That's going to be the bulk of the episode.
But before we do that, I just want to add that I just looked up the picture of the werewolf at Disneyland, and it looks amazing. So if you're anywhere near there, you should go check out the werewolf from Werewolf by Night, which is at Disney. Okay. She-Hulk, what did you think?
So this, I thought Loki was going to be the weirdest show that they would ever do. I was wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I actually really, really liked it. I can understand how some people might not appreciate the ending.
Yeah, I can too. I think it's tough because... So just before we talk details here, when they do something weird, my biggest thing is like, I wish they would have just went for it. But here they went for it. And I'm like, I liked it, but they really went for it.
Yeah.
And I think some people might not.
They also definitely restructured the show on the fly, apparently. Had some plot points out of order and like redid episode order and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can tell a little bit. But overall, I really, really liked this show.
I did too.
It was a lot of fun. Every week I was sad when it was over, and that I think that just means it's good.
That's fair. Some of the episodes did feel like quite short, I guess is the one thing. This show got some backlash. Do we want to talk about that right away?
Well, let's just kind of give a brief overview of what She-Hulk is and was, and then we can talk a little bit about that on the way.
Sure. Sounds good. Okay. So
it's this show is kind of like an origin story.
Yes.
The first episode, like, full-on origin story. You find out how She-Hulk gets her powers.
She's Bruce Banner's cousin, by the way.
Yes. Jennifer Walters.
Yes.
Is her name in the show. And, yeah, they're in a car, like, they're driving together to go on vacation or something, and they get in a car accident, and a little bit of his blood gets into her, mm-hmm. and she hulks out.
So, apparently, in the comic, it was, like, not purposeful to, like, give her powers, but she had to undergo a blood transfusion or something.
Yeah.
Whereas here it was just an accident, and he's right away like, get away from me.
Mm-hmm. He knows his blood, serious mm-hmm. business.
But at that point, it's already too late.
It's too late, yeah. She's full-on Hulk now.
Yeah.
And that whole first episode is kind of like her learning how to be a Hulk, but she's actually pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like she does immediately what took him years to figure out. Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because she doesn't really have, like, the Hulk. Like, Bruce Banner's Hulk is a completely different personality. Like, he has two personalities yeah. inside of him, and she does not. Like, no. She does not.
So right now he's Smart Hulk.
Yeah.
And she is basically the equivalent of that, where she has her Hulk powers, but is completely cognizant of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some theories as to why this is. She's just a different character, first of all. But she's not directly, like, he got the direct blast of gamma.
Yeah.
Whereas it's, like, been filtered through him to get to her is, like, the most...
And there's some off-screen theories as well where he had, like, traumatic childhood upbringing and stuff right. that would lead to having, like, multiple identities.
Where
their
things were repressed more.
Yeah.
She kind of talks about in the show, in that first episode when he's kind of training her, he's like, you have to understand that, like, you can get angry or some, like, you have to be able to hold it in. And she said, I'm a woman. I literally do that every day. Like, I know how to deal with this because this is just how I do this. And this is one of those things that made people mad.
Yeah.
But
ironic.
It's true.
It is true. It's funny because, like, in the workplace or whatever, like, she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And women are always on guard
mm-hmm.
of their emotions because mm-hmm. they're worried about being seen as emotional.
Well, and so that is what she says.
Yeah.
She says, I'm always, because I can, you know, by the tone of my voice, somebody might say that I'm, you know, emotional, or she says, or they can, you know, laugh or not take me seriously, or I can, like, get killed randomly. Like, that is just a common reality.
And yeah, that's a through line through this whole show, like, kind of exploring misogyny and
yeah,
women's
yes.
experience, right?
Yes. And so there's, like, they do lean, like, they do address that right away. Like, that may have a factor in the fact that she's able to control her emotions because she literally has to every single day, just being a woman, which is ironic because we're supposed to be oh so emotional.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of funny. Anyway, so yeah, that was that first episode was the first strike against it for a lot of the internet crowd, where they were very angry that she was talking down to Bruce.
Well,
it's
funny, though, because, like...
Yeah, no, it's funny. And then, so...
So first of all, I just want to say, people's, like, certain internet groups, obviously my internet groups, even my Disney ones, are quite different than yours, just by nature of mine, are all very fluffy and girly and stuff like that. I still see some volatile messages and stuff, but it's kind of the equivalent... Like, the angry internet groups on this, particularly the ones who have issues with stuff like that, is kind of the equivalent of the fact that Fahrenheit 451 is often on most banned books lists. It's like, and here's the point.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
But so, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
And that meta-ness just continues yes. throughout the show. But yes. So she's the Hulk, and she mm-hmm. convinces Bruce that she's okay to go back into
totally.
Society.
Episode 1 also has the best after credit scene.
Yes, it does. I almost forgot about that, but no.
Just what we were talking before I forgot. They don't all have after credit scenes. I was kind of disappointed because the first few did.
Yeah, it was like the first four or something mm-hmm. did, and then they didn't have any until the end.
Yeah, which was, it felt weird and disjointed. Maybe that was part of your whole, like, having to re-edit
yeah.
and stuff.
But anyway,
the first episode was the best one.
It was very good.
So just watch
And
that.
It was like, It's what after credits scenes should be, kind of like just a throwaway fun thing.
Super fun.
They don't all have to be setting up Phase 17.
No.
Or whatever.
Although those are fun too, but like these are great. The other really good one was the one with Wong.
Yes.
That was a good, that was an after credits
scene.
Well, that was
really good. We'll get
there. Yes, but we'll so there's there. A couple really good ones. Is my point.
Okay, but yeah, this one they're drinking on at their. Hawaiian, is it Hawaiian
Island? Mexico.
Mexico. Oh, they're down in Mexico. Oh, that'd be nice.
A little tiki bar,
Mexican
though.
Mexican tiki bar.
That Bruce and built with Tony, I think.
Yes.
Oh, that's sad, actually.
Yeah. Tony built it for him so he could, like, have a place to relax. Probably after he punched him in the face with Veronica.
I mean, that makes sense.
But yeah, so they're sitting there drinking, and they're... They have a higher tolerance, so they have a lot of booze down, and Jen is acting very, very drunk.
Yeah.
Very, very drunk.
Very.
And she's prying into Bruce's history with the Avengers.
And particularly.
And she has a theory that poor Captain Rogers went into the ice 70 years ago and then never had time to ever have sex.
So he remained a virgin forever.
Yeah.
And poor Bruce is just listening to her, like...
And she's very upset about this.
Yeah. And he's America's
badass. It's very funny.
And he's just like, oh my goodness, this is my friend, you need to stop. And so then they have this conversation, and you should just watch it.
Yeah, you just
really
we can't do it justice, but it's very funny.
Okay, so then the story continues.
And, well, she basically goes back to her life as a lawyer.
Yes, but that doesn't last very long.
So it turns out you can't have superpowers and live a normal life is kind
of
because the problem.
It's interesting because her client that she's working on when we are first introduced to her, part of her old premise is like, if you have... It, not great power comes great responsibility, but that is literally her closing argument. And in the middle of that, we meet one of the villains of this, Titania. Crashes through the courtroom. There's been some, not sure as to why, there's been some, like, questions.
Never really explained.
She said that she was accidentally on her way somewhere else and, like... Yeah, but it was never really explained.
Basically, the gist I get out of it is, well, she's set up as like a Kardashian-style influencer, Instagram model.
Who happens to have superpowers.
Who happens to have some sort of random superpowers, and that's not really gone into how she got her superpowers or whatever. And yeah, she crashes into the courtroom and is going crazy, and She-Hulk has to stop her.
Yeah.
And so then everyone sees that she's She-Hulk.
Well, and that's the thing is she's like giving this argument and then she needs to step up and do the same thing. But by doing so, she loses her job. Everyone's like, you're wonderful. Thank you so much for saving me. By the way, you're fired.
Yeah.
Like, so she gets hired to head up a new division at a new law division, a very specific...
It's a law firm that's creating a new division.
Okay, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is focusing on superheroes. They say, like, since everyone knows about this now, there's so many random ones all over the place. And hey, sometimes there are legal considerations with this. Now, we don't need to go into, like, the plot of every episode, but just as the overall, she gets hired to head this up, but they want to hire her as She-Hulk. And they begin...
They want someone for the billboard is what they want.
Exactly. They do not want her as Jennifer Walters. So part of her whole story is kind of, like, figuring out how... The same way Bruce did, but they're separate entities. She's, like, trying to be both at the same time. And this is interesting because as a woman, that's, like, a big... thing is you're supposed to be quote-unquote supposed to be both awesome career lady and also like nurturing at home lady, and like
there's a lot of metaphor
can't
going
really
on for sure.
Exist at the same time, whereas she's like, I worked really hard for my law degree, I'm still paying off student loans, I want to be a lawyer, I like, she's very passionate about that, but also I like if someone
like,
is doing
very
wrong,
very passionate about being a lawyer, because at the end we see in her childhood bedroom, she has Legally Blonde and Aaron Brockovich posters. Like, she wanted to be a lawyer when she was a kid, basically.
Exactly.
So, yeah, very important to her.
Okay, so she takes this, and then you know, we meet some like random clients she has.
She gets Abomination from the first Hulk movie out on parole.
Yeah, that's her first big one. And one of my favorite lines in the whole thing, she calls Bruce to make sure it's okay with him that she takes the case. And he says, nah, like that's so long ago, it's a completely different person then.
Which should have been our first clue that this was going to be very meta. It fits very well in the show.
It's a different actor.
Yeah. Yes. It's referring so good. To the fact that Edward Norton played Hulk yes. in that mm-hmm. first movie.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, so we have Abomination. We have some other random characters. Wong shows up, which is just fantastic.
Wong's in everything.
Phase
4 is Phase 1.
They make a comment about that as well.
Yes, they do. Several comments, actually. Yeah.
And she's like, don't worry, there's more Wong. It's basically going to, like, what does it say?
The next episode, like, he shows up in the first one, and she, like, complains about, like, there's a different cameo in every episode, because mm-hmm. there has been. And then the second episode, he's like, okay, well, we're going to get some more Wong in this episode. It's basically like Twitter armor for the next
for the next week.
And it's kind of true. Yeah, like, everybody loves Wong. It's like, Wong's awesome.
Yeah. So, and Wong comes in, is totally awesome, as per always. We also, my new favorite character with Wong.
Wong has a friend. Wong comes packing a friend.
Well... unwillingly.
Yeah. He's not too happy about it at first, but
so there's a like party girl, a woo girl.
Mm-hmm.
Madison?
Yes, Madison.
Madison with a Y, but not where you think.
There you go. Yes. And this character should be annoying as all heck, and I should not like her at all, but I don't know. They made it work somehow.
She just did such an awesome job, and putting her with Wong, of all people, just makes sense. So they have my second favorite after credits scene.
Yes, they're watching The Sopranos mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, we have a few different, like, one-off things. You know, she's got that Titania situation.
The reason Wong comes back is because there's a magician who mm-hmm. stole a sling ring. But I feel really bad for magicians in the MCU. Like,
yeah.
There's real magic. Yeah. Like, they're basically out of a job. So,
and yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, that was what he was doing.
Yeah.
So there's that. She has to... The other part of this is she's kind of struggling, like, with finding dates. Like, she's a single woman in her 30s, and so she goes on some, I think they're Tinder dates, basically.
Yeah, it's a Tinder-esque app, not named Tinder, but, she's trying to go out on dates, but she's also, like, kind of well-known now because she's...
Well, she starts going out as Jennifer Walters, and it's
really bad.
Terrible.
And...
So she decides to make a profile.
Because she this does take place in L.A., mm-hmm. which has a pretty notoriously bad dating scene mm-hmm. in general. Probably not if you look like her, but that's beside the point.
What did the one say as he was leaving? He gets a phone call, and as he's like leaving, he's like, I don't know, she'd be like a...
She's like an L.A. 6 or
she's
something?
She's like, she'd be in a New York... 8, but an L.A. 6 is kind of the...
No, I think it was like a Minnesota 8.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota 8 something LA like 6, yeah.
But like...
I was like, oh, my God. And no. Yeah, no. And no. So then she decides instead she's going to make a profile as She-Hulk. So then she goes on some dates as She-Hulk, of whom they hit off.
They gets a lot more matches as She-Hulk mm-hmm. is just...
The other thing is they're still not great for the most part. One is... like super egotistical and is like, well, I can bench almost as much as you and I'm not a superhero. And one is just like outright creepy, who talks about her as a specimen and like, do you know what can pierce your skin? And like, it's
very creepy. Yeah.
Super mm-hmm. creepy. And I think it's
Todd. I believe
Todd,
his name was Todd. Yes.
It speaks to it. Cause right away we were watching some like coverage of this and people are all like, oh yeah, he's super, super creepy. And just after the first episode, and the guys, every man was like, he's going to be a villain. And all the women were like, no, he's just a creepy guy. Like, that's just like reality. And he did end up kind of being a villain, but just by being a creepy guy.
Yeah. So.
So we were both right.
We'll get into that.
So she's trying to struggle in like which one she should be and trying to be both.
Yeah, she wants to be appreciated as both. She does start to learn to embrace, like, at first she just, like, wants nothing to do with She-Hulk whatsoever. But she starts to learn that it's still, it's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, and at one point she has to defend her identity as She-Hulk. Copyright law, yeah. So I don't want to go into every episode here, but there's a little bit of that. That helps with the identity thing. She, you know, meets someone. There's, like, questions. She goes to a friend's wedding, and then it's like, do we want you there as Jennifer? Do we want you there as She-Hulk? And she's kind of like, I'm both. Can't I choose? But...
yeah, she shows up to the wedding in She-Hulk form, mm-hmm. and, like, is showing off. And the mm-hmm. and the bride, because she's a bridesmaid in this mm-hmm. wedding, and the bride's like, don't upstage me at my wedding, basically.
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah.
Not a very good friend.
But then at the end, when the bride is very drunk, then she had to turn to She-Hulk to, like, fight Titania again. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, I love you.
Drunk girls are cute when they get into I love you mode.
It's like my natural default. Yeah. So anyway, there's still, like, those questions of identity.
She's basically struggling with identity and, like, having power as a woman, which is a pretty universal subject matter. So
true. There's also the dating. She, like, flat out doesn't shy away from the fact that she is dating and she is interested in physical relationships with men.
Oh yes. She-Hulk smash.
Yes. Wow. Both as She-Hulk though, but also as Jennifer Walters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out there is, like, a thoroughfare, I was gonna say, I guess, but A through line. Thank you. I was trying to combine those two together. It did not work.
Mm-hmm. Line through.
A line through. A line through. Yeah. Anyway, where there are questions about this, the Illuminati, which does exist in the comics.
Intelligentsia. Yeah.
Illuminati was the movie. Yeah. Yes, that's right. The Intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that.
So in the comics, they're kind of like a supervillain group, and... I don't know a ton about them, but they're a supervillain mm-hmm. group, and they do things, but they've redone them in this series as basically internet trolls.
Yep.
And
with, like, a dark web kind of presence.
Dark web, and, like, but there's, like, death threats, but it's so meta it hurts, because they basically took things that were being said about the show
yep.
and, like, turned them into the villain. And it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I really liked it.
I mean, I liked it because it was commenting on it. And, like, I like anything that's meta. And, of course, women's issues are very near and dear to my heart.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Yeah, weird, hey? And, yeah, so I liked that they were, like, putting it under the magnifying glass and being, like... Creepy Todd is a villain, but he's a villain because he's Creepy Todd.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a creepy guy.
So, it turns out that he founded this Intelligentsia website. He's the admin of it,
mm-hmm.
and they are just a bunch of whiny little dudes
who
don't like there being a strong female character, and that's their main problem.
Yeah, but they're very convinced that that isn't their problem. That is, they just don't like her. Like, she just is terrible. And they do things like they
try to steal her blood.
Yes, they do. They shame her for being, like, sexually active on a public screen.
Yeah, there's a revenge porn aspect. There's all sorts of women's issues in this.
Yeah.
Like, very scary stuff for women that happens in real life.
Yeah.
And
some guys, like, try and jump her after and she's, like, really scared to be with him. It's like, oh wait. Oh yeah.
And punches them. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
It's awesome and, like, concerning, but I like the tone they took with it.
Okay. We'll come back to the Intelligentsia for the big finale.
Okay.
But let's get to what everybody came for.
Is it Matt Murdock?
Yeah.
I was going to say, is it Amelia? Because I would just like to point out that one of the original cast members from Hamilton is on this show.
She is, yeah.
Okay, now we can do Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
Which is also what She-Hulk said.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. No, they they did spoil this in the previews that Daredevil was going to be appearing in this show.
But...
And they made everybody wait. There was a tiny teaser in one of the episodes, basically a post-credit scene where you saw his helmet being constructed.
Right.
And then he actually does not appear till the second to last episode. But what an episode.
It was so good.
And like...
So good.
Did him justice without him stealing the show completely.
And he's there as both Daredevil and Matt Murdock.
Yes, he does some lawyer stuff.
Yep.
He does some butt-kicking stuff.
Yep.
And he's different than on the Netflix series, but not completely. Like,
yeah, he's not as dark, but he still has... He got his great hallway fight scene.
There was a hallway fight scene. Yeah. And he's not as brooding, but I think he's just, like, more mature now. He's gone through that dark period, and he can smile once in a while now.
Now. Mm. He's stopped writing his angsty poetry and now, like, gets up and goes to work.
He's not racked with as much Catholic guilt.
Right. As much.
As much.
he doesn't still make comments about that, actually.
he's still going to have to go home and do some confess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's still got some Hail Marys to say. He and... Jennifer, do they first hit it off in as Matt Murdock and Jennifer? Do they hit it off as She-Hulk and Daredevil?
No, they go to the Legalese bar.
Oh, yes, they're
drinking together.
Yeah, because they faced off in court together.
He buys her an appletini with a cherry.
Yeah.
Red and green together in a
nice drink. I like it.
And there is...
Very strong sexual tension.
And then they go and beat up some goons.
Yeah.
Or are they henchmen? No, they're goons.
Yeah. There was a question about that. Hey, we just had an episode about henchmen.
Yeah.
They're henchmen, the ones we talked about.
Yes.
Yes. Because there's a difference.
Yeah. Henchmen believe in the cause, and goons are just there for the paycheck.
Exactly.
Is what Matt Murdock says. And that makes sense to me.
Tracksuit Mafia, goons. Pretty sure.
Most of them.
I think some of the higher up ones believe
the higher ones are henchmen. So you had layers in the tracksuit mafia for sure. Yeah.
So they're ones that stuck out to me like that. Anyway, yeah. He was great. That was a great episode.
Perfect.
I loved everything about it.
Very excellent penultimate episode.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Had a super upsetting ending. That was the revenge porn.
Right. So that's... It was slightly longer than the other episodes, and it kind of had like a little coda where she goes to an awards show and the intelligentsia comes back and hacks the system and puts up a sex tape of her.
Yeah, taken against her knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if it was with her knowledge, it doesn't matter.
Oh, 100%.
You can't...
But I'm just like, she was so like shocked in every way. Yeah. I mean, like she didn't even know this thing existed.
And so she Hulk rages.
Oh, yeah.
With everyone around. She doesn't actually hurt anybody.
No, she breaks the TV.
Yeah, she breaks the TV.
Where it's showing stuff.
I mean, that's probably what I would want to do, too.
Me, too.
But of course, she gets attacked by the DODC and
arrested.
Put into prison. And that sets up the final episode.
Right. When we get to the final episode here, I want to make one comment about, we talked about Madison with a Y and Wong and how they should be the besties ever, and I will watch a show of just them, but
they should do Wong and Madison commentary track for Disney Plus shows.
Yes,
that'd be great.
That'd be amazing. Okay, have that. Also, I love, so her best friend is Nikki.
She's a good friend.
She's an awesome friend, by the way. She's like the bestie of the best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy they work with named Pug, who is amazing. And I like their dynamic together. And they're not like romantic or anything like that. They just have a really cool relationship.
So, yes, this show delves deep into toxic masculinity and misogyny, et cetera. And they do have one shining bright star for the male sex.
Other than Charlie Cox.
Well, yes.
And like her dad is good and Bruce is good.
They make a comment in this about daddy issues, and she's one of the few that
yeah.
Her and Ms. Marvel can talk about yes. not having daddy
They're
issues.
They're like, oh, guys. Like,
we've entered a new phase of Marvel where yes. we have just good supportive dads.
Exactly. Which is funny, because usually, like, the cliche is that it's girls with daddy issues, right? And they're like, no, we're good. We're fine.
Yeah.
Look, seriously, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's why I wanted to bring up Puck.
Yeah.
Especially going into this last episode. Because, like you said, he's the shining star
He is not toxic.
No.
At all.
No.
And, he's just a cool dude.
Yep.
I'd go for a drink with Pug.
So would I.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not feel concerned about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Pug is like, so he just welcomes them on the first day, and he and Nikki especially become good friends. They are the ones who track down the designer who helps She-Hulk get her outfit and stuff.
Which is
like
important.
That. Super important. But in this last episode, it is all over the place.
Yeah. So she's arrested, and they basically depower her.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what they did to Abomination
yes.
earlier, there's a special tech that like makes it so she can't transform anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she also loses her job again. Has to move back in with her parents
because mm-hmm.
she's broke.
Yep.
No job. No one will hire her
in LA, especially. And she kind of need a job.
can't be a superhero anymore. Can't be a lawyer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically kind of hooped.
Yeah. So she and Nikki kind of make it their mission to try and find out who is behind all this. So
Complete
with yarn board. I love a good yarn board.
Yeah,
eh?
Yarn yeah. boards are great.
Yeah.
I'm on a yarn board.
Yeah, we can have a yarn board. I don't know what we'll be yarning about.
I don't know.
It'll be something.
Yeah, okay. Something. Anyway, so they're trying to track down this intelligentsia, and I don't know, it's not going very well, so... So Jen decides to go visit her friend Abomination.
Yes. In an earlier episode, she spent a little time there and was like, wow, he is really just like doing a retreat for superpowered people. There's like a
group help session.
Yeah, a yurt.
And there's a sweat yurt.
So she said, well, I'll go. He literally was in the same position where he wasn't allowed to use his powers. And so he might understand. I'm going to go visit him. Okay.
So she heads there. Meanwhile, Nikki and Pug are doing their own investigation.
Yes.
And Nikki sneakily gets a video of Jen from college dancing, which is another interesting meta commentary, because I don't know if you remember this. There was a big controversy where the U.S. Congresswoman.
I do remember this. Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce her full name, but AOC.
Yes.
Had a video from when she was in college and she
yeah.
was dancing, and someone posted this and was like, so
yeah.
Like,
didn't she like just recreate it like as an adult?
Yeah,
stuff?
I think so.
That was great. You had to own it.
It like, yeah, anyway, so I think that was like a comment on that.
I
like,
think so too.
Anyway, so
I
she
forgot about that till you said it, but I
yes,
you're totally right.
So she posts this to the intelligentsia mm-hmm. website and kind of gets an in with them.
Yes.
But they of course assume she's a dude.
Yes.
And that's when she gets Pug to help her.
And he's just grossed out by this on every level.
And so she gets an invite to this little party / group meet that they're going to do, which somehow happens to be at Abomination's retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, we're not seeing the whole picture of anything. Because,
no.
Like, it's not full information.
No.
And Pug infiltrates this.
Well, with an earbud in, with Nikki telling him what to say.
Yes. Because he can't be a toxic man
yeah.
and like is like super grossed out about it. So she has to feed him
lines.
She's
like, I've heard this before. This
yeah.
is what you need to say. And he's like,
No, I don't want to.
So he has to like talk himself up into it and stuff. But
And we get a lot of great lines from these intelligentsia guys
yeah.
whining about like Lady Thor
yeah.
and stuff like that. It's,
yes.
It's very funny. Like, she didn't deserve the powers. Should go to the people who deserve it or
yes.
something. Just garbage stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so funny.
Yeah.
But.
And I like, and my favorite one that Nikki did was like, anytime there's a lull, just be like, females. I was like, oh my God. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. He's like, but so that's going on.
Yeah. So, and Jen kind of wanders into this meetup as
looking for Abomination.
Yes. And he is transformed and is giving a speech at this thing. So you're like, oh my God, he's actually a villain again.
Mm-hmm.
He's right involved in this
stuff.
He's
trying to bring down She-Hulk.
Yeah. And
nope.
Well, it kind of goes like full on CG gong show Marvel third act.
Okay.
Style.
So she opens the door and is like, what the heck? And he says, oh, hi. But his speech he's giving is all like, follow your dreams.
It's very generic.
Reach success. And
very generic life coach stuff, which is because that's his kind of like side hustle now.
Right. He's doing it as Abomination. And so that's also against his parole.
It's...
Anyway, so that happens. And the. In
Todd,
thank you. I was like, the creepy guy.
Creepy Todd.
Creepy Todd is like, hey, this is perfect. Just so you know, this guy that you were dating, I paid him to steal your blood.
And I'm going to inject it into myself.
Because I deserve the powers. I had to work for them. You didn't. You were just given them, and that's not fair. And
so then he becomes another Hulk. And
right.
He lunges at Jen, but Abomination protects her.
Right.
And then in comes Titania smashing through the wall.
Because why not? And then?
Through the ceiling.
Bruce.
Bruce comes. Because why not?
And then?
They're all fighting. And then she's like, wait, what's going on?
This doesn't make any sense.
And yeah, so we get the ultimate fourth wall break because she like just pauses the action.
And then it goes to the Disney Plus screen. Disney Plus screen.
Yeah. And you're like, for a second, did I bump a button? Is it?
Nope.
No.
Because she's still talking.
She's still talking, and she busts out of her little square on the Disney Plus UI, and busts into Marvel Assembled.
Yes,
which is great because that's the behind the scenes making of shows, mm-hmm. and so she's in our universe now.
Right, exactly. Super smart.
Super meta.
She goes and she's wandering the actual, like
Disney
studios.
Campus.
Yeah. And goes into the writer's room.
And so you see some of the writers of the show. And
the actual writers,
like, executive producer and all that. And she, like, argues with them. Is like, this is really dumb.
This doesn't make any sense. These storylines don't line up. This doesn't make sense for plot. This doesn't make sense for character. Like, what the heck are you doing? And they say...
It's Kevin.
This is what Kevin wants. And we're all like, is Kevin Feige going to show up in this episode? So she says, well, then I'm going to go talk to Kevin. And they all laugh. One's like, I would die for Kevin. Yeah. And it's really funny, this like hero worship of Kevin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And which, again, is like so meta. I love it so much. So she's like, I'm just going to go find Kevin. So she goes to, like, it doesn't show where she's going exactly, but it's another building.
It's the Marvel Studios office. And it apparently it's the actual place. And like,
and there's a ridiculous amount of page of a non-disclosure that they make her sign
a non-disclosure, and then but she breaks in and beats up a bunch of security guards in her own little
hallway.
She gets
her own hallway scene.
This one was reminiscent of a Black Widow fight, actually. I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay,
anyway, and she breaks into this like secure vault,
yes,
and finds Kevin.
Yep. And Kevin Kevin is not Kevin Feige.
No.
Kevin is a robot.
Kevin's a robot.
But he does have his baseball cap.
Kevin is K-E-V-I-N, the robot. It's knowledge and entertainment.
I'm going to find it here.
Something. I don't remember.
I'm finding it.
The thing
Knowledge Enhanced Visual Interconnectivity Nexus.
Ah, there you go. Nexus is in there. That makes sense.
It's basically, it's like AI that
he's
like a huge comic book nerd.
He's in the room. He's got a bunch of comic books hooked up to his like neural network, and he's running an algorithm, which is another interesting meta commentary, because a big knock against the MCU in general is it's very formulaic.
Yeah.
And they're saying it's an algorithm that, I don't know, it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, very self-referential. I will say that they kind of spoiled the Kevin thing if you had subtitles on.
Really?
Because in the earlier scene when she's talking to the writers, when she's, it would say, She-Hulk, who's Kevin? And it would be, like, spelt normally. But if the writer said it, it was spelt with the letters.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, just capitalize it, but don't put, like, the periods after.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that, because...
Poor choice.
Yeah, anyway, so, yeah. But Kevin's cool. He kind of looks like an evil robot, but he doesn't act particularly evil.
No, he's just, like, really into comics, and I thought it was funny because she says, well, you know, this is a big complaint that everyone has that you have to have this huge scene. He's like, who's everyone?
Yeah.
Who's saying that?
And I will say that Kevin has a little plastic visor thing that looks like his.
He has a ball cap.
Little ball cap. Yeah, it's very cute.
It's so good. I love Kevin the ball cap wearing robot.
But She-Hulk convinces Kevin that this doesn't necessary for her show and she should just have a nice little ending.
I really enjoy. So she starts and she says, like, okay, well, Abomination should just have to, like, take responsibility for what he's done, which is break the terms of his release. Okay. And so they have this big screen and Kevin's like, okay, well, maybe. And so Zap, he looks like Emil. He's not Abomination anymore. Yeah, he's Emil. And then they're like, and Bruce doesn't even make sense here. Like, he was in space. What is he doing here? And oh, yes, Bruce was in space, by the way.
He's like, well, I kind of want to set up the next thing. Well, you don't need to do that every time. You don't need
to do that. Yeah, you don't need that every time. Save it for the movie. He's like, but we were going to introduce Save It for the Movie, she says. And people everywhere went, hey. So he's gone. Titania doesn't even make sense here. She's like, but people love Titania. No, it doesn't make sense. So she's gone. And Todd, why did it have to be a weird blood thing?
Can't he just be a creepy dude?
Yeah, like, that's the point and stuff. So he convinces all that, and he's like, well, what else? And she's like, more Daredevil.
Yeah. Wouldn't mind a little bit more Matt Murdock.
So he shows up in there, and then she says, okay, now tell us about the X-Men. And then she looks at the camera with the thumbs up and grins.
So, yeah, our first...
And he's like, no.
He's like, absolutely not. No, yeah, so our first mention of the X-Men in the MCU is She-Hulk...
Trying
to ask for the audience. Yeah. And is like, just
she
so
like
good.
Is so proud good. Of herself for asking.
So she convinces Kevin and she goes back to her show and has a nice little Fast and the Furious family picnic.
Yes. Because it's all about family.
It's all about family.
And Matt Murdock is there. He's staying for a week, and he's fielding all sorts of the inappropriate questions
family
from
questions.
Parents about, like, dating and, like, well, how much money do you make at your job? Kind of thing.
Awkward.
Yeah, super awkward. But it was
cute.
Yeah, and he was handling it very well. And I was very fond of Netflix, Matt Murdock and Daredevil. I'm very fond of this Matt Murdock and Daredevil as well. He's like that quippy kind of, like, yeah, he's a lot warmer.
Daredevil in the comics has his fair share of quips. Yeah, he's...
I mean, and he did that in Netflix a little bit, but I think he's more so in this.
Yeah, he's having a little bit more fun in his life, which he gets to. So that's... Yeah,
I'm love it.
I'm very, very excited for the Daredevil show.
Me too, the Born Again show. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, while they're having this picnic, Kevin just couldn't help himself.
No, Kevin gets what he wants in the end,
which is also part of the because Bruce shows up. And sorry, family. I know I was late. I was in space and hard to reach and everything like that. Oh, I have someone for you to meet.
His son, Scar. Which everyone was wondering if that's why he went to space, because that's a big thing from the comics. He has a son.
On Sakaar.
On Sakaar and...
Wait, on Sakaar and his name is Scar?
Yes.
Ugh.
It's comics. They have terrible names.
Ugh. Okay. All right.
The Werewolf by Night's name is Jack Russell, okay?
Fair. Fair. Okay, well, Spider-Man was invented because Stan Lee was, like, swatting at a fly and was like, Bugman. No. That's not catchy enough. Okay, fine. But anyway, Scar. Is he prepared?
Spelt different.
Ah, dang it.
It's with a K.
Okay, but yeah, so he was on Sakaar, where apparently he has a son. Had, because he brought him with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's brought up and Not elaborated.
Not even slightly. It's like an offhand comment. And then Matt Murdock turns to, well, I guess I was, keep saying She-Hulk, but she's Jennifer Walters at this point. Yeah. And is like, your family's crazy. She's like, ha, families, huh? Like, and that's like the end of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what, like, what did you think about all that?
Okay. I actually really liked the last episode because I really like anything super self-referential and meta.
Yeah.
I love Kevin the Robot.
It was super fun. And then this last episode did have a post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah, that's
where
true.
Where Wong breaks Abomination, Emil, out of prison to give him asylum at Kamertage.
Yes.
So.
And Emil's like, took you long enough. And it was funny because he was very willing to go back to prison.
Yeah.
Even Jennifer, in full lawyer form, is like, as your lawyer, I have to tell you, you know, you might be in, you're probably in prison for 10 years for this. And he's like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's because he knew Wong was showing up. He knew. And he does.
So we don't know what that's setting up. I still think he might be in Thunderbolts, but maybe not. Maybe he's going to do something else.
Maybe. But he's sticking around anyway. Yeah. Wong doesn't take him with him to just, like, ignore him for the next little while. And we all know how much we love using Wong and everything, so.
Yeah, but Wong must appear in every Marvel show.
He even makes a comment about how many series there are, which is, like, because he was watching The Sopranos, it's like, was he watching them or was he in them? And I took it to mean he's in them. Or at least making comments about how he tends to be in them.
Emil's line was, what, did you get sucked into another show?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's a double meaning. What was he watching? Was he binging another show? Or
exactly.
Was, like, he literally in another show? Yes.
So I like that. I really like that it was self-referential. I don't hate that. I feel like in that universe, it makes sense that Kevin was like, well, I'm still going to introduce Scar, but I'll give it to you that, like, it's not going to be a big deal. Like, I think that makes sense in terms of the show that, like, he's insisted in getting his own way, but he was still, like, you know, trying to be nice to her because she didn't want it to be about
him. It didn't detract from the show at all, and it wasn't like, I don't know. I think it worked perfectly.
And I think it's like, it's very, this is the most sitcom-y of all of them, other than, I guess, WandaVision, which is about sitcoms, but, but, you know,
both.
And that this totally fits, where at the end of a season, you get like, here is my random sibling who showed up, or here is my son who I've never mentioned.
Cousin Orville or whatever from the Brady Bunch is the famous example of that.
Right,
What is his name? Cousin something. Anyway, it's very, very famous sitcom example of just a random character showing up.
I know that's not the most famous one, but my favorite example of that is Buffy, when at the very end of the episode...
That was the same riff,
The same kind of idea, when all of a sudden they're like, help your sister, and you're like, what sister? And it's like, mom.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, exactly the same.
Reference, yes.
It felt right tonally.
And I'm very glad you brought up WandaVision, because you made a very good point about this being sitcom-y and obviously kind of weird.
Yes.
This ends phase four.
Yes.
Of our first phase with Disney Plus shows.
That's true.
WandaVision started it.
Yes.
I think it's a perfect bookend.
Yes, two weird things.
Two weird things that are sitcoms.
Yes, I like it. Yeah,
perfect.
And that they were, in these more than any other, I feel like they were really using the medium of, like, it wasn't, hey, we have a movie or a really long movie we're breaking up. It's like, we are using the medium of a weekly show as part of the storytelling.
Yep.
And I absolutely agree. These were great bookends. Anything you want to add about She-Hulk before we end up talking about this quite a bit longer?
So I'm going to, I think we'll just leave it at She-Hulk. Mm-hmm.
You did like it, though.
Yes, I did like it. I like having Disney Plus shows doing like a 1,000-foot view on having a phase four with Disney Plus shows. I like having these to look forward to rather than just one movie every few months.
Yeah.
It might be a lot of content for someone to keep up with if they're
it's
not
true.
Like as into it as I am. So I can see that, how they balance how important watching these shows is versus they still want to have standalone movies.
So to begin with, they were kind of like, you could do them separate, but they'd enhance. But it seems like the more and more we get into it, the more completely intertwined they are.
Yeah. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. I think
Doctor Strange, without watching WandaVision, wouldn't have made a lot of sense, but you could still do it.
Yeah, it was doable, but not great.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, but what are we going to do with the Marvels?
Yeah,
the if you've like, never like, seen Ms. Marvel.
Exactly, that's the
or
thing.
Or you've
like,
never seen Ms. Marvel, and you've never seen WandaVision, you're like,
Ms. Marvel clearly leads directly into the Marvels.
Definitely.
So, like, how?
I don't know. I think in November, after, because we're talking Phase 4 here, we've got our last Phase 4 element is Black Panther coming out in November. And I feel like after Black Panther's out, we should do an overview of all Phase 4, including the shows, and how it all weaves together. What are your feelings on this?
Sounds good.
Cool. We have one episode in November done.
And I kind of want a mini episode on Werewolf by Night. It can be a Disney A special presentation.
Let's do it. So you don't want to talk about it now? You just
no.
want to save it?
I'm going to save it.
Okay. Let's squeeze it in before Halloween?
Yes.
Okay.
It can be a Halloween special presentation. We'll release it on Halloween. How
well,
about
because we have an episode coming out on Halloween.
Oh, okay. All right. Halloween's a Monday this year.
Not to spoil too much, but it's about scary things. So this might work.
That sounds terrifying.
Exactly. Werewolf by Night's pretty scary.
How about we release it the Halloween Eve?
Then? I like it. To get you ready. I like it. So, yeah. What did you... you felt like this was a good bookend, though, you're saying.
Yep. I didn't love every episode of this show, just like I didn't love every series.
Yeah.
Overall, like, but I didn't dislike anything.
I am 100% on board with that. I enjoyed at least some elements. I was never disappointed walking away from this show or from any series, but some I really enjoyed more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I appreciated more than others or whatever. Like some I'm going to be like, oh yeah, that was a show. And some like WandaVision is in my top favorite shows of all time. So, and like then you have something like Ms. Marvel, which just knocked it out of the water and surprised me. But then you had other ones where I was like, oh, that was fine and that was fun and I enjoyed it and it's done now, so whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I felt the same was about true about this.
But I think they're all watchable and fun.
And for the last episode of this, I felt there were some things that I really, really liked and some things that I was like, eh. So same kind of thing.
I liked what they did. I wish there had been a little bit more weird stuff all the way along rather than...
To make it make sense.
Just a little bit of fourth wall breaking every episode and then like this big huge thing at the end.
Yeah.
It was almost
too much.
It was almost too much too fast. But
fair.
That's also a comment on the Marvel the Marvel third act CGI monstrosities that they are well known for.
They comment on that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a quiz for you.
Okay.
You're either more She-Hulk or Daredevil. This quiz shall be the judge. Which of these would motivate you in battle? Justice, recognition, family or love, or moral obligation?
Probably moral obligation.
Okay. Choose a member of Blonsky's therapy group. Manbull, Porcupine, El Aguila, or Saracen?
I like Manbull.
I like Manbull as well. Choose a She-Hulk villain to She-Hulk smash. Titania, Josh, Leapfrog, or Runa? Josh is just one of the guys.
Yeah, no, I know who Josh is. Mm-hmm. Oh, Runa's the dark elf.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the light, actually, no, the light elf that is a little mischievous and is in trouble for impersonating Megan Thee Stallion, which we didn't talk about at all.
Oh my goodness, that's right.
Anyway, I want to smash Josh because he's a jerk.
Such a jerk.
And not in a good smash, a bad smash.
Yeah.
Smash.
Yeah. Not occasionally Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
Smash, like, put him,
punchy,
throw him through the wall.
Punchy wall smash.
Yeah, he, like, angered me more than anyone else. Mm.
I mean, Todd, obviously, would be the most punchy face one.
No, but... I think Josh, because Todd gave off, Todd was wearing a bright neon sign saying, I'm majorly creepy.
Fair.
Josh was duplicitous, and that is so much worse.
Yeah. And more realistic.
Exactly. Choose a character from the Defenders stories to team up with. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, or Elektra. If you say Iron Fist, I'm hitting you.
Jessica Jones.
That is the correct answer, although I would have forgiven
Luke Cage. I will drink with Jessica Jones and then probably die because really good at drinking.
Choose a color: green, yellow, red, or purple.
I I'm going to say purple because it's your favorite color.
Thank you.
Because I don't know.
Choose another Marvel Studios TV show. WandaVision, Loki, Ms. Marvel, or Moon Knight? Ooh.
I'm going to go off the board and say Moon Knight.
This is probably my four favorites, I think, right here. Yep. Would you rather battle a band of goons or a band of henchmen? Goons, henchmen, neither, no preference, or they're the same damn thing. No, they're not.
No, I think I'd rather battle goons because I'm not a superhero, and goons would be easier to rout because they don't believe in the cause.
Correct.
Yeah.
Choose a Marvel villain to defend in a court of law. The Scarlet Witch, Loki, Wenwu, is that how you say that? From Shang-Chi?
Yeah, Wenwu, yeah.
Okay. Or Killmonger. Ooh, these are great ones.
Well, before Doctor Strange, I would have said Scarlet Witch. She's kind of indefensible now. I would say Loki.
What do you mean she's indefensible?
She literally tried to destroy the universe for imaginary children.
Imaginary, they're just not in this universe.
Imaginary children.
And finally, choose one of Jen's iconic She-Hulk outfits. The wedding guest dress, the super suit, the award show gown, or her business attire.
I like the wedding guest dress quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, and so did she.
Yeah, it was a good dress.
This might surprise you. You're Daredevil.
Yes!
You're Matt Murdock, brave, intelligent, and just the right amount of brooding. There are a few people out there who do it quite like you. And by it, I mean literally everything.
He's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a fun quiz.
Anything else to add about this?
So much for a short episode.
I know. All right. Well, let's wrap her up then, hey?
Okay.
That is our show. Thanks, El Mule, who's responsible for our custom theme song that you can hear at the top of our shows. You can find a link to his work, as well as all of our social media accounts, and a link to our email at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you search Disney A, you can find us there.
And you might want to stay tuned to Twitter here pretty quick.
I was going to say that. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you really, really, really want to. So when Brandon had to watch the, I mean, got to, as was a gift, not a had to, they can't see you glaring at me. You live tweeted.
I did.
High School Musical.
Yeah, all three of them.
And the reason I'm bringing that up,
yeah,
is because there's another trilogy now.
There is, yeah.
Zombie. The Zombies trilogy.
It looks so good.
This is cool because I'd seen High School Musical. I've never seen Zombies. So this is going to be like a straight up blind date with Disney.
Except it's not blind. Going in with my eyes wide open.
You are. I'm not. You're going to tell me all about it after. But I'm going to be following along with your live tweets. So you probably should too because Brandon is a really witty guy.
Like, I do my best.
It's the live tweeting High School Musical. I was literally laughing so hard.
I did have fun with that.
That was fun.
That kept me sane, actually.
So are you going? It was like your tether to reality.
Yeah.
Are you gonna? You're gonna live tweet all three.
Oh yeah.
Are you gonna watch them all in one sitting?
I'm gonna try. I might go insane. I don't know. This could be my villain origin story.
Fantastic. I'm so excited.
No, Fantastic Four is
different. Yeah. That's different. Okay. So you definitely want to follow us on Twitter for that.
Yay.
Because that's next week.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So definitely stay tuned for that. Until that fantastic next adventure. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Butterfly flies so high.
Take a look. It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow. Okay, wow.